came and took over the house. We had taco. I think it was they told me it was National Taco Day or something. So we had tacos that night. Okay. And the next day, my daughter got up and she ran in the kitchen. I was going to get the grandbaby with my wife. And my daughter called me on the phone. She says, "Where's all the taco meat?" I said, "They ate that. That's gone." She said, "Even the chicken?" I said, "They demolished everything. Nothing was left." And so, but I say it was encouraging. It was great having them over there playing games. A little competitiveness there, you know. They played Nerds, and Nerds was great and competitive. But then they got into this Uno, and I was asking my son, I said, what are y'all playing? He said, "We know there's Uno Flip, there's Uno this, Uno." I said, "Look, let's just stop at Uno, okay? You're going to do too many different Uno things on me." And they played this Uno, and then they got to these cards, and I had no idea. But apparently these cards had stuff written on them. And it was like, "Who wrote this?" And then I asked, I said, "Who wrote this?" And my daughter said, "Probably Aaron, and him and Cadre to play this game." And they played this one card, and then whoever played this card would say, "Skip everybody." And I was like, "Well, how does that work?" You know? And so I'm thinking, but I was just watching them. They were having fun, and you know, I learned a lot about a lot of people, you know. Don't not be fooled by Jordan's quietness. I watched and observed. Mm-hmm. She's very competitive on that game. I'm very controlling too. Nah, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to play. I watched it and deserved that. So, but it was fun. It was great having those guys over. They had a lot of fun. And just really excited to looking forward to the next one happening and everything. So, really excited about that. Also, guys, just for your campus guys, Miss Patricia is going to tap me on the shoulder. She has something to talk to you guys about. So, just look forward to her asking you to just get involved with some things. Really excited about that. Also excited about Clayton coming as Trevor mentioned. Clayton's going to come bring some campus students from Belmont and some other places. Going to come up and hang with us either the 3rd or the 9th. Really excited about those times and everything.
Come on.
God is moving. Things are happening. Really excited. This morning, guys, we're going to talk about finding joy and following God. Just got to find joy. I found joy in having all the campus kids at my house the other night. It was just fun. Just watching them hang out, have fun, building. You know, that's what the kingdom is about. You know, a lot of people think, man, you know, kingdom is like all these marching orders and, you know, thou shalt not. You know, that's just part of it. But, you know, it's about being with each other, loving with each other, encouraging one another, learning. It encompasses so much. So I found a lot of joy in just having those guys over. I found joy in eating chocolate, you know. Glad I ain't choosing it for my fast just yet. God bless Gloria. But I find joy just in certain things, you know, chocolate. I find joy in having my grandson. He is so full of life. And I'm always just amazed at the way his mom works with him. He is just such a happy little boy, happy little baby. A lot of character. So I find joy in stuff like that. You know, I find joy in just, you know, watching football once in a while. I find joy in getting in the yard. I don't know what it is. You get my age and you want to get in the yard and get on a lawnmower. It's like, it just has meaning. You know, when you're young, it's kind of a little different. Not everybody's excited about, I'm going to get in the yard and do some yard work. I'm going to do some housework. But I don't know, as you get older, I think you learn to appreciate more things. You begin to find joy in it. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this is awesome. I did this, you know. So just finding joy in a lot of things. But you know, we want to find joy in following God. You know, and the joy in following God is that, man, you have to be excited to just bend to God's will and to God's way about how you should live life. And let's just be honest. I heard Gloria share, and she shares all the time. And I know Gloria says she's a prideful lady, but she fights. She fights for humility. She fights to say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to bend to your way, but can we discuss about how this bending process is going to happen? You know, can we bend this way a little bit first, you know?" It's just normal. We're human. We like, I want my way. Why do I have to give up this? Okay, if I got to give this up, can I give it up this way? That's just us. We want to go into a discussion. I'm willing to do it, but can we do it this way? And God's like, no, we need to do it this way. My way is better. But this is how we are, you know. But we're going to look over in Romans chapter 2, you know. And so Romans chapter 12. But finding joy, one of the first things we're going to talk about is that has to be about transforming, or would you say, transform your mind, the way you think. We got to transform the way that we think, the way that we process stuff. And you know us, we like to read things, and we like to process it to our advantage. How does me taking this in How does me allow this scripture to be one of the foundations of my life? How does this scripture benefit me according to how I feel or how I want it to go? That's just how we think. And so over here in Romans, basically, you know, Paul is just really reiterating, really cementing, really just kind of like strengthening their foundational doctrinal beliefs. And so one of the things he talks about in Romans chapter 12, we'll pick up in verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. First point, transform your mind. You know, when I think about transforming your mind, this is what I see. It says, you know, I see what God is saying. So we see here what God is saying. God is saying, okay, look, you know what? The first step to transforming your mind is not to conform to the pattern of this world. So we see that. We also hear what God is calling us to be. God is calling us to change, to be different, to not be as the world. But the question is, how do you respond to this? You ask yourself, man, so how will I respond to this? He's telling me to not follow the pattern of this world, but I need to transform my mind by allowing my mind to be renewed in God's way of thinking. How do you respond to that? We all respond a different way. It goes back to how much of myself am I willing to give to God? Am I going to give him 100%? I'm going to give 70% and say, God, you know what? You need to pick up the other 30, just, you know, the other 30 with grace and let it slide. You know, but God's like, no, I need 100%. I need for you to bend. So we see what God is saying. You hear what God is calling you to be. But the question is, how will you respond? Well, first, look at some things. What is the pattern of the world? That's amazing. I always like the Holy Spirit when it's working. Gloria talked about the world and everything. And I was, and my notes is, well, let's see how the world is. News. Let's talk about how the world is going on. In the news. The news always talks about wars. Or wars that's going to be happening. Yep. The news talks about murder. There's always murder going on. We have shows now. You know, murder, you know, revenge of the neighbor, a bad neighbor, you know, forensic files. It just talks about the things that are always happening in our world. Let's talk about, it says families being separated. In light of the immigration stuff, families are being separated. There's just, I mean, no concern, no heart for like keeping the families united. But even then, this has been going on long before we had this immigration thing going on. There's always been families being separated. But this is the world we live in. Greed is a part of the world that we live in. There's always greed and corruption. Always going on. But let's look at the pattern of the world again from a life perspective point of view. So we're talking about a little bit of the news, but let's talk about our life perspective. Well, what does life show us from the people around us and the people that we associate and the people we don't associate? Well, in the world that I know with people I was around, sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. It's just normal. It's just rapid. It's normal. It was happening back in the Old Testament times. During the early days of Israel, it was happening in the New Testament times. Guess what? It's still happening today, and I guarantee it'll continue tomorrow. This is the pattern of the world, sexual immorality. We're talking about lust. It is a big struggle. It happens in our world. Envy. I want what you have. I want what you got. Envy. What about lying? Lying is just commonplace. Mm-hmm. To where it's just like, it's just common language. Everybody do it. We all do it. Just, you know, just that's the way the world thinks. The world's like, just lying. But God wants you and I to be transformed. God says, we're not going to lie. We're not going to do that. We're not going to deliberately go out and say, I'm just going to tell a lie today. Right. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the challenges we face, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, we're not going to lie. I don't know if you remember growing up as a young kid, but I tell you, it was a bad place or a bad position to be caught in something, know that you're guilty, fear kicks in, and whoever it may be, your mom, your dad, your uncle, grandma, whoever it is, are questioning you saying, did you know anything about this? Did you do this? How did this happen? And I'm going to tell you, if you had that child, you're like, I tell the truth, this could be bad. That's how your mind thinking in fear, this could be bad. But if I lie, I make a skim out of it. But you know, But I found out that when you're a kid and you lie about it, it just gets worse. It just, like, the heat turns up. It's just worse. It's all kind of worse. And I'm not telling my age, but back in my day was when it came time to deal with my consequences, I was sent to go get my own tools of punishment. Some of you may not know about that. I was sent to go get my, I mean, you know, what kind of person does that? They sit in the house and say, you go get your own tool of punishment. And you know how you are. Are you really going to punish yourself real hard? Okay, I'm going to bend to your will, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm supposed to come back in with a pretty long, we call switch. Well, I'm going to come in with a little short. You know, I'm complying, but this is, you know, I've modified the agreement. I tell you, man, this is how we are. You know, fear will cause us to do a lot of things. But here's a challenge. God says he does not want you to conform to the pattern of this world. Do not be as those who live by the world's standard. God wants your mind and my mind to be renewed. But fear sometimes will make you live a lie. Fear does that. Fear will make you think, I'm going to lose something. If I make certain changes in my life to be what God wants me to be, what God calls me to be, then I'm going to lose this. And I don't want to lose this. You know, but we're going to get into this in the next scripture, but I find that anything we lose here, it was temporary anyway.
Yep.
If you think I'm kidding, tell me the next time when you're going to be. Let's see some. Ricky hasn't reached it yet. Maya's not there yet. But I always use this with my kids. I say, tell me when next time you're going to be 16. They would give me that funny look. I say, yeah, never. Them days come and go. Each birthday that you get, it come and go. You keep growing. It's only temporary. The age you are now, you're only the age for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And then you advance. God needs you to allow your mind to be transformed. And you know what? When you allow your mind to be renewed, God says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. He says his will is good, it's pleasing, and it is perfect. Who does not want to test God's will? Who does not want to see what God has for them? You know, finding joy is about finding peace. And the peace you seek can only be found in God's will and way for your life. All other roads in life lead to misery and emptiness. It's just true. It's just true. I don't care. You can go pursue a whole bunch of things in life. You and I will get older someday.
Yep.
This flesh will have its time. But if you're not pursuing God, let me tell you something. It's misery. I remember back in the days, a friend named Vince Aker, I should say a friend, a brother, Vince Aker, we used to talk. And one of the arguments people would make is, especially like, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, I believe, you know, we just exist, we just showed up in the world out of nowhere, and life is like that. So one of the things we always tell people, we say, okay, you know what, okay. Well, I'll acknowledge that. I say, but let's look at it this way. Let's just say you're right and there is no God, okay? Let's just say you're right. There is no God, okay? And we die.
Amen.
And what have I lost? I've lost nothing, you know? But let's just say God exists. You still don't believe there's a God. But you and I die. And whoa, guess what? You find out there's a God. Who's in trouble?
You.
Who's in trouble? So really I benefit more from, guess what? Renewing my mind, being transformed, and understand that there is a God. He does exist. It's a win-win situation for me. But for those who choose to ignore God, say, I don't believe there's a God, say, guess what? I find no joy in following God. When you die and you meet the Lord, you're in trouble. You got to allow your mind to be transformed. You want to be on a road that leads to happiness, a road that completes you, a road that is going somewhere instead of a road that is going nowhere. That's where you want to be. Look at me over in Philippians, guys. So we're talking about finding joy and following God, a mighty God, an awesome God, a loving God, a God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. I love Paul. We talk about Philippians. Get over in Philippians here. And, of course, Paul is always sharing about his life, and he's always trying to help people to understand and see beyond their own righteousness. And over in Philippians chapter 3, you get there. Paul starts up his head, chapter 3, verse 1, he says, Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I love that. Rejoice in the Lord. He said, it is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard for you. He says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. He says, for it is we who are the circumcision. We who serve God by his spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence, and I mean no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for such confidence. Wow, that is so powerful. It says, for myself has such reason for such confidence. We're going to stop right there. Finding joy in God is having no confidence in the flesh. He said, what do you mean, Sidney? I'm young, I'm living, everything's working. Let me tell you something. Your body, guess what? It has limitations.
Yep.
I don't care if you are the best athlete in the world, star athlete. I don't care if you feel like, well, my body's got some health issues. It doesn't matter if your body is in peak position or not. Your body has limitations. It's just things that your body cannot do. It is limited. It is limited. Let me tell you about your body. Your body, it is prone to aches. Who has aches? It's prone to pains. Who have pains? Ooh. Man, you've had a headache. That's pain enough right there. That covers everything. It's just prone to pains. Wow. Sickness. It's illnesses. Ah, look at this body. Look at this flesh. Wow. It's prone to diseases. I've had a chicken pox. Who's had a chicken pox? Oh, I hope you had a shot, man. I already had them good. There's a measles outbreak going on all of a sudden. Wow. Your body's prone to cuts, bruises, rashes, and infection. That's just a small list of what your body is prone to. The flesh. Paul says you cannot find no joy in your body because it's prone to a lot of things. Why would you put your hope in something that is fallible and it is aging? Really, where is the joy in having confidence in the flesh? It is fallible and it is aging. Now, we do everything we can do to take care of the body. We try to eat a lot of the right things and consume the right things. As I was sharing earlier with Jordan and Tam, I said, yeah, but as you get a little older, the things that you fail to do right when you're younger, your body's going to let you know. I don't know what it is. It's like you hit 40 and you start approaching 50 and your body starts saying, oh, that's off the table. You can stop all that. Certain things bother you. Sugar bothers you. Salt bothers you. Certain cakes bother you. Everything, I mean, tea, drink, you name it, everything is bothering you. You only eat so much. You go to a doctor and the doctor tells you, guess what? When you consume meat, it's all you can consume from here to here. That's it. That's your daily portion. And let's face it, we're people like, I like to eat a lot. He's, that's too much protein on your body right now. Too much protein. Man, I tell you, the body, it has its limitations. It does. Finding my joy is not finding my joy in things that limit me.
Sure.
Think about it. Finding my joy is not finding it in things that limit me. My body limits me. I don't care if you have pleasures that you seek. Pleasures are only brief. That's it when it comes to the body. Think about it. Have no confidence in the flesh. Paul goes on to write, still in verse 4, he says, though I myself have reason for such confidence, he says, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. It says, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regards to the law, a Pharisee as for zeal, persecuting the church as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. This is simply amazing how he lays this out right here. He says, you know what? If you want to talk about who's who's of who's who's, I'm that guy. You know, you can't have no confidence in your accolades or your status or achievement. And we do. We like to talk about all the things that we are achieved in life. Our world is built on that. I think about football. If you're able to start at Pop Warner, go up to middle school, do high school, do college, do the NFL, that's okay. But what is the goal that they're seeking? The Hall of Fame. For some reason, it's like the Hall of Fame. When they reach the Hall of Fame, they'll be like, I've made it. That's the greatest status in that league. Now, although other sports have Hall of Fame, every year, football seems to be the one that gets broadcasted the most. It's like, this Hall of Fame seems to be more important than the MLB, Major League Baseball, or basketball. But the Hall of Fame. But Paul says, put no hope in that. Have no confidence. Okay, you'll cheat all that. But do not allow your faith, your joy, to be built on the fact that I've achieved all these things in the world, and so I am somebody. Paul says, I have no confidence in that. Look at what Paul said. Paul said he is the Hebrews of Hebrews. That's like Chris said, man, when it comes to being white, I'm the white person of all white people. That's like Jordan said, when it comes to being black, I am the black person of all black persons. Think about that. Think about that. But Paul says, oh, that's worthless. So what? Your genes are 100% white. Your genes are 100% black. He says, it's meaningless. I put no confidence in that. He says, I used to live that way. And then he goes on to say, he says, as far as righteousness, based on the law is the Old Testament part of the Bible. He said, based on that, he said, guess what? Faultless. I don't know if some of you remember the old Mortal Kombat game, but when you did a kill at the end, and if it was right, it would say what? Flawless. What? Fatality. Oh, but flawless. 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 Say flawless. That means it was a clean, I mean, like, it's like, there was no mistake in how you performed at the end of that game, like flawless. I think about that. Paul was saying, when it came to holding the Bible of his day, which was the law, he says, I was faultless. But Paul said, all that stuff is old. I have no confidence in that stuff. Instead, picking up in verse 7 going forward, he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. He says, Jesus, my Lord, for those for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. He says, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Wow. I want to stop right there. Paul says, that old life I lived, there was no joy in it. It was all temporary. There was no joy in it. He says, I consider it a loss. Are you willing to consider the way you used to live a loss? Are you willing to consider your past life a loss? What about your past behavior? God is wanting to move you in a different direction. He's wanting to move you in the direction of unity. He wants you to build with him. What are you willing to consider a loss? Consider garbage when it's put next to God in Christ. Paul says, he says, where I'm at now and what I'm gaining on a daily basis, he says, man, it is far more better than where I used to be. You see, Paul was on a road that led to nowhere. What road are you on? What road are you on right now in your life? Where is that road leading you to? You have to ask yourself every day. Where is that road leading you to? Is that road leading you nowhere? Is it leading you to a place of emptiness? Where are you at? But you see, if you start following God according to God's will, not what you want it to be, not being like, well, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but I'm gonna do it this way. But if you start following God according to his will and his way, guess what? You're on a road to finding joy, happiness, and peace. You know, I find out that we as people, we tend to resist. I don't know what it's just in our nature. And God's known it all along. He puts out throughout all scripture. We just have this issue about resisting God because we just want things our way. but it doesn't benefit us in a way. It doesn't.
Sure.
It cost us more than what we gain. Cost us so much more. We can't have no confidence in the flesh. We cannot have no confidence in our accolades, our status, our achievements, things that we acquire. These things are temporary. They fade. They pass away. Finding joy in God and finding joy in following God. It's about my soul. I want to have peace. I want to be resolved. I want to have a full and clear understanding as I walk through this life and I live this life that God's going to take care of me. But my hope is not in none of the things that I come in contact, none of the jobs that I have, none of the rewards and stuff that I get. My hope is not in stuff. These are just things along the way. But my hope is in following Christ. My hope is in following God. My joy is in following God. Back in verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained all this. I love it. Such humble. He said, I haven't attained this yet. He says, or have already arrived at my goal. He says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, he says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The final point, guys, when it comes to finding joy and following God, final point is let go. You just got to let go. Too many times we're still doing that. We're holding on to something that we believe that if I let this go, that I'm going to be unhappy, that I'm going to be miserable. If I let this go to follow Christ, to follow God, to build a great and spectacular relationship with God, then I'm going to lose something.
That's right.
We just feel like that. But God tells you, it is far better to be in love with Him than it is to hold on to something that is temporary.
Yep.
Paul's view, I love this. Paul gave you a whole picture of where he was and where he is at now. He is straining, pressing forward toward the goal. What's your goal in life going forward? What's your goal in life when it comes to building a relationship with God? What's your goal? Give God 100% or 20%? Or I only need God when things are going bad so I can blame God and say, Lord, where are you? What's your goal? What's your goal in life going forward with God? Is it, Lord, I'll only call you when I need you. Lord, I'll only do what you need me to do when it benefits me. What's your goal in life when it comes to pursuing God? Is it going to be, Lord, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to transform my mind. Yes, I'm going to renew my mind. Yes, I want to know what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. What's your goal? What's your goal for coming to church? What's your goal for showing up on Wednesday night? What's your goal for showing up to the campus depots? What's your goal for serving the community? What's your goal? What's the whole point of you doing all this? Are you trying to find joy following God? Or do you just want to look good and say, hey, I'm here. I'm here. You know, one of the challenges about finding joy and following God is about surrendering.
Yep.
Surrendering and being submissive. You cannot do nothing in life unless you surrender or submit to God's teaching. You can do a lot, but it's not going to benefit you in a way. But you cannot be closer to God if you do not surrender, if you do not submit. It is hard to achieve a lot of things in life if you do not surrender, if you do not submit. You've got to find the joy in surrendering to God's way. You've got to find the joy in submitting to God's teaching. As I heard Gloria share on John, you know, just obeying the teaching. Jesus said, if you just obey, it's going to be good. You've got to find the joy in that. But the first step to finding the joy is, are you willing to follow? Are you willing to submit? Are you willing to love God the way that He loves you? He loves you unconditional.
Yep.
withholding none of his glorious gifts back from you? Will you continue to withhold yourself from God?
No.
Guys, as we close out here, one of the things I want you to do is this. As you go through this week, every day when you wake up, and your mind's going to think a lot, every day you wake up, I want you to first of all think of, what is my goal for the day? Number two is, who will I find my joy in? Every day you wake up, think about that. Because life is going to get busy through the week. And you can be like, oh, I got a lot of little things to do. But at the beginning of the end of the day, what was my ultimate goal? To shine for God. Okay, I got a lot of classwork to do. Let me give my best. Let me give my best that it may bring glory to God. And guess what? I'll benefit. I may get an A. I may get a pat on the back. I may get, hey, we're not doing that assignment. I don't know. But I'm getting ready. And also, when you say, let me find my joy. Man, am I going to find my joy because that guy looks good or that girl looks good? I'm going to find my joy because my teacher says, hey, you did great like that. Who am I going to find my joy in? Who am I asking to work and move on my behalf? That is God. You will not find your joy in your past behavior or your past actions. You will not find your joy in your past habits. You just will not. You will not find your joy in your past conversations, anything like that. But you will find your joy in following God. The question is this for you. Are you willing to submit, surrender, and follow God? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.